What is wrong with America? Our nation is under attack from within. Expose the spiritual darkness behind the assault on America. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. I have never mentioned my hardcover book on TV before. It's about America under attack, and I wanted to talk to you about it today. Of course, it is free, as all of our literature is. And it was first printed in 2013 in a little small paperback. But since that time, we have made it, and I have expanded it into a much bigger book, and we've made it in a hardcover. So it is a very impressive book just to see. But this is something that can afflict political parties. It can certainly apply to churches. And it is a problem that's pretty widespread. Across the globe, people are still asking the question, well, what is happening inside of America? That's asked by people overseas quite often. Now, we're still aware of Abraham Lincoln's statement about the last best hope on earth here in America. But that hope is in danger. And it is something we all need to be concerned about, because the problems that we have are within. The attack is from within. That's a real problem. You have Russia, China, Iran, they're all allied, and they are not our friends. They are our enemies. I want to read you something from Michael Hastings, and he described the captivating effect Barack Obama had on the journalist covering him during his second presidential campaign. Hastings told MSNBC's Martin Bashir, quote, "That's the presence of Obama, even on the press corps, even on the people who follow him every day when they're near him. They lose their minds somehow. They start behaving in ways that are juvenile and amateurish, and they swoon." Now, what is that anyhow? Now, again, this can happen to political parties, and it has certainly happened to churches, God's own church. 95% of them turned away. That is prophesied in your Bible. And they were destroyed from within. So what happens to churches? That's something that is a big problem as well. Matthew 16 and verse 18 says that Christ would build his church and it would never die. He did build it. And it's never died. And it'll go right on to his second coming and forever. But what happened to 95% of those people? How did that all happen? 95% of them, the true church of God, turn away from God. Hastings goes on to admit to getting caught up in this behavior. He said this, "Did I ask the hardball questions? No, I did not," he admitted with a smile. Instead, he asked soft questions. Bashir ask if he's swooned around Obama. "I do," Hastings laughed. "I totally, oh man." What is going on? You really have to know your Bible to understand that. But this has happened and is happening, but it is changing somewhat at this very time. And we all need to be concerned about that as well. Hermann Rauschning says this about Free City of Danzig in Germany in 1933 to 1934. He briefly joined the Nazi movement before breaking with it. He had many conversations with Hitler that he later wrote down in his book, Hitler Speaks. He wrote that during these talks, Hitler spoke a lot about the psychology of lying. Rauschning recalled that on one occasion, Hitler said, quote, "What you tell people in the mass in a receptive state of fanatic devotion will remain." And he also recalled Hitler on other occasions saying, "We are now at the end of the age of reason. We're at the end of all that." A new age of magic interpretation of the world is coming, of interpretation in terms of the will and not of an intelligence. He says there's no such thing as truth, neither in the moral or the scientific sense. No such thing as truth, even though it says in your Bible, John 17 and verse 17, that thy word or God's word is truth, the truth. That's what your Bible says. But this is not talking about the Bible. Hitler's annotation included highlights such as the difference between true and false had disappeared. And quite a lot is gained with magic, namely the possibility to change the world according to our will. Change the whole world according to our will. Now, this afflicts political parties and churches and others. Other corporations, you could certainly say that as well. Hitler talked about worshiping his own human will and believed he could create his own reality. I mean, that's just out of this world. And you'll see that I mean that literally in just a few moments. But here you have these bigger and bigger political landscapes, and oftentimes people insist on what they believe falsely is actually true. And they say they are getting this from will worship. Now, it is something that is a danger to all of us, but how can we avoid this, and how can we destroy this and have the kind of hope that Abraham Lincoln talked about? How can we do that? Well, in Germany in the 1920s and 30s, you had very intelligent, highly educated population, and they went mad. They just went mad. What's behind all this? It's certainly, as I said, it's happened in the very church I was a part of. And 95% of them turned away from what I know to be the truth, God's own word. John 17 and verse 17. That's something we need to think about. Notice Colossians 2 and verse 18 and 23. So here, people are trusting their own will. And here's what the Apostle Paul wrote about this subject. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, that is demons, it should read, intruding into these things which he has seen, that's the correct translation, has seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. It's in will worship. It's right there in the Bible as well. And here is a church, God's own church, being afflicted with this at the time of Paul. But that's only a type of prophecy for this end time. And you can prove that from our booklet on Colossians. It can be proved easily. But here we have Hitler saying that will worship, that's just magic interpretation. And he loved that. In terms of the will, so this is how it works in this world. They will often say, well, there's no absolute truth. That's exactly the opposite of what God teaches us. God's word is truth, and it is perfect. You can prove that as well. If we get into this will worship, it is extremely destructive and something we have to understand, because it is very dangerous. In a spiritual way, it's extremely dangerous. In Ephesians 2 and verse 2, it talks about the prince of the power of air. Like it's going right in it's in the air. And it goes just like television is a power of the air and radio and so on. It's there, and it's a spirit of disobedience. That's what your Bible tells you. Colossians 2 and verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, the Good News Bible translates the expression rudiments of the world as ruling spirits of the universe. Well, what are the ruling spirits of the universe? They can go all over the universe. Demons, along with God's angels who did not disobey. But Lucifer rebelled and led one-third of the angels to become demons. But look, when you talk about being invaded by this in a church or a nation, this is the worst evil you could face because you're worshiping demons and Satan. Now, if we don't know the Bible, we don't know about that, but that can easily be proved. And it's throughout the Bible. What does God expect us to do? Well, let's read Revelation 12 and verse 7 through 9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. So now they lost that war. This is an end time prophecy in the book of Revelation. And they had a war with God, these demons, and God cast them all to this earth, and now they are confined to this earth, all of them. They can't go out into the universe anymore. Now, what kind of problems do you think that's going to bring to this earth? To have all of the demons, along with Satan, confined to this earth. That's never happened before. Until this end time. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceives the whole world. How many people really believe that? He deceives the whole world. And it's talking about this end time setting. Do we believe this? Do you see deceit all around the world? Do you see will worship all around the world? See a lot of it in this world today. Notice verse 12. It says, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. He knows it's just a short time until Jesus Christ returns. That's what he's talking about. That's why he's so full of wrath. He's about to be kicked off his throne forever and to be thrown into the abyss. That's what your Bible says. Now, let me read to you something in 2 Kings 14, verses 26 through 28. Remember this. Now, this is Kings. Kings is a book that is of the former prophets, which means most of their prophecies for this end time. That's what your former prophets are all about, and I have a book on that where we'll explain it to you and prove it to you if you will be eager to have that understanding. Notice what it says in verse 26, for the Eternal saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter. Just very bitter affliction. What is that? For there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. Well, what do you know? Israel, well, prophetically, that's America and Britain. Also, you can add the scepter nation of the Jewish state, and those three nations had the greatest blessings God could give. And God is not happy with them, and they need to see what is the problem. And it goes on to say, and the Eternal said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam. This book will explain all this to you about these personalities and what they're doing. The son of Joash, now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam and all that he did and his might, how he warred and how he recovered Damascus and Hamath, which belonged to Judah. So in other words, this history got two cities back to Judah. And here, though, is a man in this end time that is going to get something back. And what is it? You need to understand, God is silencing a lot of the will worship. God is very much against that, of course. But here there was a war, and that is for this end time. It has been done right before your eyes, but it's being undone because there is a war, and that war is going to silence those who would blot out the name of Israel. God says He will never allow that to happen. That's His master plan for this world. And nobody is going to destroy that and blot it out. Certainly He'll punish His people, but He won't let that happen to them at all. The kingdom's court, let me just read you what I talked about in Amos 7 and verse 13, where it talks about the kingdom's court. Amos 7 and verse 13, Amaziah says, "It is the king's court," in verse 13. And king means kingdom. The King James Version margin reads, "House of the kingdom." Wycliffe translates it, "House of the realm." This is the nation's house. It is not something that is following Jeroboam, yet it favors him. It is helping him in some way. What is this referring to prophetically? And here's what I wrote. I believe this is referring to the United States Supreme Court. But when you see what has happened now in the Supreme Court, I don't ever just believe that. I'm going to have to omit those two words. But here, this court was designed to guard and the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. A little further down, I said, I believe his prophetic account in Amos 7 implies that there is a conservative advantage in the Supreme Court, one that will serve Jeroboam. So I said, it implies that. Well, I'm going to have to admit that as well. Another, I believe, and I'm having to just omit those because look what has happened in the Supreme Court, and that was prophesied in your Bible, and Amos 7, it tells you that. It certainly does. So let's study just a little of that. I'll just kind of paraphrase this. We don't have much time, but in Amos verses 1 through 6, God is so angry with this Antiochus personality. Not a good thing for sure, but it is a servant of Satan. And God is ferociously angry, I wrote, and ready to send the end time nations of Israel into World War III. Just to cut it off right there, and Amos pleaded with him in both cases with the great tribulation, the day of the Lord, and God repented. He said, okay, I'll do it, but don't ever ask me anything again. This is the last time, and I'll send them a message and a warning to give them every opportunity to avoid the terrible tragedy that's ahead. He loves us, and He wants us to avoid these things, but if He has to do this to correct us and make us understand, He will do that. And there are a lot of sins in our nations, a lot of them. What makes God angry here is the work of Antiochus. Now the book will explain all of this to you. But God is concerned about the sins of the people. And notice a little further down in verse 8, I will not pass by them anymore. I won't do it. I won't warn them anymore. Don't try to talk me into it. This is the last time. God does warn His people. He wants us to avoid these terrible future of ours that we see building all around us. People are just building all kinds of nuclear bombs and weapons of mass destruction, and they're going to end up destroying all humanity if Jesus Christ didn't step in and stop it after we have been punished by some of it. That's what He says. He's trying to get our attention. Who wants to look to God? How much do you hear about people talking about God and bringing God into this? How much do you see that out there in the world? I don't see much of that. And they virtually don't ever even talk about prophecy. That is, the churches. Why not? Well, if you look at verses 7 and 8, it talks about the plummet of destruction. And there is an Antiochus involved there, but he is being silenced. And that's why it doesn't say Antiochus. But God just calls it the plummet of destruction, an exact measurement of destruction for the people, his own people who are sinning. And that political Antiochus is going to be silenced. Is being silent or silenced, and it's going to be totally silenced there in verse 8. And then if you can go on down to verse 14 of Amos 7, it says, "Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah." Amaziah is some minister that came out of God's own church. And he too is an Antiochus. That is explained in our book. But he said, "Look, I was just a farmer out there gathering sycamore fruit. And God then took me as I followed the flock. The Eternal said unto me, 'Go prophesy unto my people Israel.'" Prophesy. So he does that, and they're going to go into a great tribulation if they don't listen to what Amos says to them. And he, see, again, this Antiochus just destroys all the truth he can find. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
What is wrong with America? Our nation is under attack from within. Expose the spiritual darkness behind the assault on America. In this end time, the devil has destroyed God's one true church and the United States of America using the exact same strategy, attacking from within and from the very top. Those familiar with the collapse of the worldwide Church of God after the death of Herbert W. Armstrong in 1986 are experiencing deja vu as America collapses today. Request Gerald Fleury's free book, America Under Attack, to expose the effective battle plan of the devil against the world's number one superpower. There is a spiritual cause for the dozens of nation-crippling problems plaguing the United States. You can prove why millions of Americans have succumbed to will worship, denying absolute truth and clinging to insane beliefs. The spirit world is real, and the masses have accepted a fantasy land ideology that amounts to demonic worship. Deceit prevails not just in America, but around the world. We are living in a post-truth age, a time of magical interpretation of the will. Churches, political parties, and corporations are afflicted by this exaltation of feelings and falsehoods. Truth has been cast to the ground. Study America Under Attack for the startling reason why the world has gone mad. Prove that millions of evil spirit beings are confined to earth and wreaking havoc. A spiritual problem of this magnitude requires a spiritual solution, and you can discover that solution within the pages of America Under Attack. Also request Gerald Fleury's free book, Malachi's Message. The church split after Mr. Armstrong died was foretold in your Bible. A man of sin seized control of God's church and dismantled all the doctrines, one by one. This traitor shut down God's work and hoarded the wealth. Prove for yourself the prophetic message of Malachi, how the worldwide Church of God went off track, and what God did to address this tragedy. You will also receive a free copy of Gerald Fleury's booklet, The Lion Has Roared. The prophet Amos describes an end-time confrontation between a righteous religious leader and the rebel who destroyed God's church. The backdrop? A crumbling United States of America. Learn why our nation is on the brink of indescribable punishment and how God always warns before punishing anyone. Find and heed God's warning message today. Look at the world around you. Do you see many smiling faces? Does the average person seem happy, content, and grateful? More and more, people are struggling with depression and mental illness. There is a cause for every effect. When we don't understand who we are or where we're going, we tend to become frustrated and discouraged. Request a free subscription to the Philadelphia Trumpet to view your life from an entirely different and unique perspective. News, economy, politics, trends, discovery, health, family, the Bible, the future. See it all the way your Creator does. The great God of the universe knows humans better than we know ourselves. His instruction manual for mankind, the Holy Bible, answers all of life's most important questions. Through 10 annual issues of The Trumpet, you'll explore what the Bible says about your awesome purpose and potential, and God's plan for all mankind, past, present, and future. You won't pay a single penny for this priceless publication. There is zero follow-up or obligation. Get your free Philadelphia Trumpet subscription today. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request America Under Attack, Malachi's Message, and The Lion Has Roared. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request America Under Attack, Malachi's Message, and The Lion Has Roared. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.